Hello, everyone. It's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing among His people. The Lord has people who love Him, who seek Him, who desire to know Him, who has written Him a blank check from their heart. They gave God everything they've got. They said, "Lord, I'll do whatever you say," and they mean it. The Lord has people of this caliber, and I know He do. And those who seek Him like that and who honor Him, who live to honor Him, a life of worship, they honor the Lord with their lives. And they seek Him to know Him. And they don't care what He tells them to do. The only way we get to that point is continual trust in Him. Remember, faith is the highest form of sincerity. When all those who take God at His word, who seek Him to know Him, who seek Him to understand, they go forward in life. And the Lord helps them out, and the Holy Spirit guides them in all truth. And He takes their lives, and He does great things throughout their lives. And the Lord has people like this. And we are all different. We know in part. And there are people who They obey the Lord to the point that they really don't know how they prosper in His ways and doing things. I went with Pastor Jackson to a meeting with Rob Parsley, and pastors would come there all the time wanting to know what is his secret to that God blessed his ministry like he did. And he didn't know. He said, "I don't know. Just chase God and it happens." Now, he said a volume in that. Chase God and it happens. Now, that's been the theme of my ministry since 1990, when the Lord told me that the biggest problem in the churches is people don't follow Him. See, when you're on the track to obey God, you know, you're seeking to obey, you know, like Star Trek. They were on a 5-year mission to seek out new galaxies and places and explore space. And they spelled it Star Trek, T-R-E-K. Well, when we're on a trek to know God, to obey Him, we made a decision. Whatever Jesus gives me to do, I'm going to do it with all I got. With all my might and my strength from my heart. I'm going to do this. And doors open along the way. See, you're faithful now, and the Lord will use you faithfully now. And you're going to learn something from it. And He's going to give you something else to do. And that's going to be blessed. And I noticed that as I endeavored to obey God, gifts came. He didn't just tell me that He was giving me a new gift. I was just out doing what He told me to do in the first place. And then He introduced this gift that I never operated in before. You know, the first one I remember, he caused me to say things that beyond my ability, you know, to understand, you know, that's prophetic utterance. He anointed me to speak His word, and He gave me His word, and I speak it. But before, you know, along the way, discerning of spirits operated in my ministry. I didn't even know it was going to happen. Then He gave me words to write, and then He wanted me to speak it. Prophetic utterance became part of my ministry. Speaking words of wisdom, that became part of my ministry. I didn't know it was going to, but doors open up as you're faithful. Now, if you continue, God is going somewhere. We grow from glory to glory. We understand more. We are more obedient. God, He gives us knowledge. He prepares us for whatever's next. But I've seen so many ministers wrestle with God and never get to that point. You know, they get so far and stop. And they stop wherever they stop trusting God. Wherever they stop believing. And if God gives you something to do, you have to believe in it. If you don't believe in it, it's not going to even work. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to work. If you don't, you have to believe in what God is doing. You have to have faith in it. Jesus said, "He that believeth will do greater works than me." He that believes. So you have to believe for your ministry to graduate. You know, here, the salvation comes to us in seed form, and we grow from glory to glory. A healing process starts within. And the Lord uses that same healing process to work to, you know, we work out our own salvation. That salvation works through us. We tell others about Jesus, they get saved. And then the good works that we do, they start doing. The healing process multiplies over time. And it exponentially multiplies as we grow. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, we've been talking about where rebellion comes from. The will starts in the heart. And the issues of life starts in the heart. Salvation starts in the heart. When we hear God's word, it grows in the heart. As long as we have a good heart, God has something to work with. But we have to guard our heart with that shield of faith. We can't let impurities enter our heart. If we do, we're going to suffer tremendously. We're going to have lack. We're going to have poverty. We're going to have problems that God didn't send, which he don't send those things in the first place. But we'll merit those things because we'll earn disaster because the things of God it suffers with compromise. Now, Jesus taught on the parable of the sower, and he showed us how there are four different types of heart. Wayside, stony heart, and then the heart with the cares of this world, which is like thorns in a garden, and then the good heart. Now, let's look at the people don't know this, but even a person with a good heart can be turned if they are willing to compromise. Now, what I learned to do is I don't give sin a chance. If any form of sin is coming my way, any kind of temptation, I take it seriously. You know, I like Alabama football, and I like to see them go up against a strong team just like they are. They're on a winning streak right now. You know, I wasn't always into football. I started watching it because my friends at work watch it. But every team has their own little winning streak at times. And right now it happens to be Alabama, which I'm thankful that it is. But one thing about a good winning team, they take every team serious. Now, some teams, they're not known to be winning teams. But a team that doesn't usually win doesn't mean that they can't win. In all honesty, when the enemy sends a temptation, you have to destroy it. And you do that by speaking the word of God. We have to speak his word and destroy his plans. And you have to take, it's best to take them serious, even if you don't feel tempted. Because when his temptation comes also in seed form. And I learned when I was desperately trying to understand temptation, I took everything serious. Whoever the enemy would try to tempt me with, or whatever the temptation was, I would say with my mouth, I hate it. And if it was a woman, I would say, you can't tempt me with her, you can't tempt her with me. I would kill it. And it always worked, always. Because I knew that if I failed like that, Satan would kill me. I knew that. He tried to kill me before. He wasn't trying to entertain me. He was trying to kill me. He was trying to get me on his territory. And I wasn't going to let him do it. Because I was mad. I was very angry. And I'm trying to be polite here. I didn't say what came to my mind. But I was very angry with him. And I say, I'll never honor you. I'm going to do it God's way. Everything God's way. I endeavor to do it. So it works. Now, when God gives it, Jesus gave us victory. But we have to choose to walk in it. So I don't let things creep in my heart. And when I find things that that's holding me back. I asked the Lord what's going on. Now, one of the latest things I learned was how fear works. Fear attaches the enemy to what you're doing. You can't, the last broadcast, we talked about fear. You can't have fear in a relationship because your fear attaches to Satan. Fear always attaches Satan to whatever you're doing. A lot of ministers, they're in torment because they have fear in their ministry. They're afraid that they're going to fold. It's not going to fold. And even if it did, you will still be rewarded for the heartfelt works that you've already done. See, all the people that came through your ministry and got saved, they still get to go to heaven. They still going to be rewarded. And the people who backslide and went back to the world, that was going to happen anyway. Because there are tares among the wheat. And if you build wrong, then you earn the problem. Because what we sow, we reap. But all you have to do is look at it for what it is and change your methods of doing things. Build the right way. Don't use compromise. Don't use fear. Don't use worry. Don't let other people impose their beliefs and problems on you. Do what's biblical. Make biblical decisions. Even when it seems like it's going to take longer. Even when it seems like it can't work. Do it biblically. And you won't have any problems. And then you're going to have to build biblically. You contend biblically and you build biblically. You do it the way Jesus did it. You follow him. And it works. You obey the Holy Spirit. Just like you obey the written word. You require. If you obey the written word, you're required also to. You ought to know the voice of the Holy Spirit who inspired the word in the first place. Now, I always put it this way. If God says something to me, if I wanted to hear that, I can detect that it was God. So if it's something I'm not used to, how come I can't still detect that it's God? God told Abraham to offer up his only begotten son. And he drew the dagger back. Sometimes you have to. He knew the voice of his father and he drew the dagger back. And the angel stopped him. Said, hey, don't kill your son. That was an act. That was enough. He kept covenant. And nothing could stop God from keeping his side of the covenant after he drew the dagger back. Sometime you're going to have to draw your dagger back. You're going to have to do it God's way. Even when you don't fully understand. And then, my friend, you'll see the next step, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. God's going to use you. But the things that get us in trouble is the desire of the world. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, watch and pray. This is what you got to watch for. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's where the devil's coming. And the Lord told me he enters our lives through our weaknesses, hurts, and fears. And our weaknesses, hurts, and fears are based on the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Every time, 100% of the time. You kill those three things, you kill his plan in your life. But you have to speak it. See, a person can have a good heart, but if the enemy can come along and tempt you, he can destroy your works. Now let's look at in Mark chapter 4 said that these are they that are sown on good ground. And this is 4:20. Mark 4:20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. Now, anybody can bring forth fruit when there's no challenge. But we live in a world where there are great challenges. And I'm going to show you the easy path to having victory over Satan that you already have over Satan. And you're going to walk in victory and never fall. According to 2 Peter chapter 1. If you study that chapter, every time you feel wayward, study that chapter. It'll get you out of your ditch. And you'll never fall. Never. But let's look at a man who was dedicated. Now this is Numbers chapter 22. Israel was traveling to Canaan land. They had left Egypt. And they made it to the borders of Moab. All right. Chapter 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forth and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of Israel, because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field? And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there was a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. Now this is Balak talking to Balaam the prophet. Now he was a true prophet. He really was. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there was a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Now, at this point, Balaam did what he was supposed to do. He didn't know that these were God's people, and he went to the Lord on their behalf at first. But when the Lord said, tell him to go home, he told him to go home. He did what he should have done at this point. All right. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. So he kept sending them. You know, a temptation starts in seed form and it grows. Now, the lust of other things entering in chokes the word. The lust of other things entering in chokes the word. This is a very good example of it. Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balak and said unto him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. You know, sometimes when people that you feel equal to, or maybe younger than you, or you feel like you're further along than them, when they ask something like that, you know, it's not a big deal, because, you know, you don't feel subject to them. But Balak sent people that he would respect, people that he may have looked up to. They were more honorable. They were wiser. They were more subtle. And they made him feel inferior. And I'm going to tell you about a trick of the enemy. When I'm in God's presence, I see him. I feel invited. But I've been around men, and it's like there's a spirit of pride that works to cause you to feel inferior. Now, that is not of God. And as a young man, it bothered me. I said, well, I got to make a stand. I got to do what's right. And if people I respect ask me to do something that I'm uncomfortable with, I'm not going to do it. That was my first thought. And depending on who it was more of a challenge. And I know how Balaam felt, because I felt no different before. But I worked for a rich man before. He owned a dealership. And my boss kind of trembled in his presence. And I noticed it. I said, you know, that ain't... I'm about 20 years old, 20, 21 maybe, 22, 20, somewhere in there, 20, 21, 22. I'm about that age. And I saw this. I said, wait a minute, that ain't good. When I'm in God's presence, I feel invited. I don't feel like I have to be afraid of anything. And I'm talking to the Lord, so I'm not going to allow men to cause me to feel intimidated. So I worked on it. Some things you just have to work on. I said, I'm going to, you know, God may have me to give a word to anybody, and I may feel like they're very important. But the fear of man don't have to be in your heart. And the fear of man can cause you to betray the works of God. And I had to learn to overcome it, just like I had to learn to overcome temptation. Because anytime you're in fear, there's a chain connecting you in fear to Satan. Your fear is connecting you to that devil. And this worked against Balaam. Now, the devil's cunning, and he knows how to throw you. So if I'm not afraid of Satan, and I love mankind, I'm not afraid of man either. The trick, the secret to destroying fear completely out of your life is perfect love. Love the people you hate. Love the people that hate you. Love the people that tempt you. You have to love them from the heart. Pray for them. Mean it. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Because that destroys the fear that will cause you to be treacherous. It kills it. Destroys it. Annihilates it. Jesus already gave you victory. This is how you walk in it. But some people get in the presence of those who are well known, and they stumble. And they'll compromise. And then when they realize how foolish it was, they'll ask God to forgive them. And you don't have to go through all that stupid stuff. Like Balaam did. Verse 17, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And now watch this. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you. Now he's begging them, I beg you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. This was the first step of compromise. God don't change his opinions like men do. Just because you got persuaded don't mean God got persuaded. Stick with what God did in the first place. Men have gotten in trouble millions of times over because they keep on fooling around, meddling with wisdom. You know, Look at what God did in the first. Solomon had 1,000 wives. David had 10 or 15 wives. I don't know how many David had, but he had more than one. Now, it's best with what God did in the first place. One man, one woman in a marriage. There are conditions in the law for men to have more than one wife. To raise up seed for his brother, you know, that's more honorable. But just to go around having all these wives, that's man stuff. Even though God let them do it, it's still not best. So if God tell you don't go with these men, there's a reason. In honoring God, you're going to have to learn to trust what he's saying. He see more than you do. He know more than you. He see you. He looking at the future. He know what's down the road. He know there's an evil trap there. He knew that he was going to have to kill Balaam because of this. And God didn't want to lose Balaam. Just like he don't want to lose anybody. All right, now therefore I pray you tarry here. This is verse 19. Now therefore I pray you tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam that at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise and go up with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him, for he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Now, listen, look at what's happening. The Lord told him to go with him because it was in his heart that way. His heart had changed. If you change your heart and you turn it from God and turn your back on him to do evil, you changed. You're not the same anymore. Now, this man's will has turned. So the Lord repurposed him. He was a prophet, a true prophet. Now he's doing the work of a witch. And the Lord had to repurpose him. Lucifer was an archangel, but sin was found in him. And the Lord repurposed him. He judged him, destroyed his kingdom. And then he restored the earth and put man in his place. Now, Adam was the new light bearer. He was made a little lower than the angels. But he was still going to do the job that Lucifer should have done. It would have been better if Lucifer had followed his and stuck with his purpose. But because he set his heart, just like Balaam set his heart to be an adversary, the Lord repurposed him. Now, the enemy is like a parasite. Everything that hates God will be collected by him. He's going to enter the heart of everything that's unlike God and turn it. Even after the millennium, when Jesus is going to reign 1,000 years, the devil won't be here anymore. And there will still be people here that will have heard about what Satan did. Some people will know what Satan did, and they'll know what it was like to be tempted, and they'll warn everybody not to trust him. But after 1,000 years of Jesus reigning on the earth, the Lord's going to let him out to tempt whoever he can. Everything that's insincere, everything that's wrong, everything that have turned, everyone that is bitter against Jesus. And he's going to tempt them, and they're going to follow him. And there's going to be the last war. And it's going to be a great war. And there'll be no winners. Jesus is going to destroy them all. And then the great white throne judgment, heaven will be clean. You hear me? Heaven will be clean. Earth will be cleansed because the parasite is going to take away everything that's not like God. So the Lord repurposed Balaam. He altered his destiny. Verse 22. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And his ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either right or left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with the staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass and said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine to this day? Was I ever in lack to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened